6-3, or did they just score in the last minute?
No, it's still
6-3. Oh, no, it's 6-3. We got a bottom line up here.
This is the defending Super Bowl champ and a playoff team.
This is why I'm taking the year off from all NFL fantasy leagues, suicide leagues, knockout leagues. I'm sitting the year out.
I'll take Pitt versus BC over any NFL game at this point.
That's a no-brainer, Tom. I'll take Akron against Kent State on Wednesday over... This is going to be the best Thursday night game of the whole year. You just wait until it's Miami Dolphins playing against the Chicago Bears.
The Bills in Week 8, the New England Patriots, who are probably going to be the best team in the AFC again, versus the 0-7 Buffalo Bills with, I don't even know who will be the starter. Peterman will be out. Allen will be out. It's going to be like Colin Kaepernick. I don't know. Like, who's available?
Kyle Orton.
Yeah, I mean, it won't be Kaepernick because it's Buffalo. But yeah, Kyle Orton will make a comeback.
He's fine.
Castle's around here somewhere.
Oh, Matt God, Castle. No. Oh, yeah.
They still got a jersey of his laying around there somewhere.
All right. You guys ready?
Bring it.
Let's do it.
Welcome to Take the Points, Week 2, back online. I saw some depressing news. Number one, this is hot off the presses. The Janet Jackson Nipplegate of 04, orchestrated, planned in advance.
What?
Yeah, Dan, this is a Spygate level conspiracy. That's what it said.
Oh my God, we got to cancel the podcast. I have to go research this.
And then even more depressing news, I saw somebody tweeted that a baby born when the first Strokes album came out would now be in college.
Oof.
I still consider the Strokes new music.
That's also true, Tom.
So we're old.
Age is a state of mind.
Well, my state of mind is also old. You guys are living the, like, breezy West Coast life out there in Arizona. I'm in the rugged Rust Belt. I don't know if you've heard, but the Rust Belt's struggling these days.
35 years old in the Northeast is, like, I don't know, 48. And in the West Coast, 35 is, like, 23.
That's right. Especially now that beards, like, the big beards are back in fashion. Some dudes who are, like, 27 living in Springfield, Mass., look like they're 58.
Very true.
Yeah. Spillet pulls it off nicely. But again, that's the West Coast. Nice air.
Also true.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. This is a football show, so nobody cares about that. So we're going to get right into the lines, and we're going to do a short episode tonight. But first, we're each going to offer one takeaway from what we learned in week one of the season. I'm going to defer to defer to Ryan. Let him go first.
Thanks, Tom. My hot take is basically what my hot take was last week. It was confirmed. The coaches that we thought were frauds were absolutely frauds. Brian Kelly, Jim Harbaugh, Mark Richt, Ed Orgeron, you're all bums. We're right on track. They didn't get any better. They might get better recruits, but they're not better coaches. They mangled play calling. They botched timeouts. Orgeron burned through all three timeouts in the first 9 minutes of the game.
That's true.
So it's just, we're going to get that chance to fade some of these high-ranked teams with awful coaches, and I'm excited for that.
This really was the week where so many things we've talked about on Take the Points over the past 6 years have come to fruition, including Mark Richt, who I do want to talk about for a couple minutes at the end of the show. We'll tease that one out. My big takeaway, there are so many that I could go with. I'll kind of tie these two together. They're both the same thing, basically. So this is the podcast that told you long before everyone else in week 8, I believe, first weekend of November 2017, we told you that a young man named Tua Tagovailoa, I can't pronounce it.
That was correct.
We couldn't pronounce it then. We can't pronounce it now. Jalen Hurts was the starter for Alabama. He was 8-0, and we told you he would not finish his career at Alabama because a young man named Tua was so good that he was going to have to take over. Then, all offseason, as people tried to pretend there was a QB controversy, we told you that Tua was the clear favorite and that there was no controversy because while Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback, definitely above average, Dan shaking his head, Ryan, I'm not sure, but I'll call him above average to pretty good. But he's no Tua. Tua is unbelievable, looked incredible in week one. He's like a combo of Mariota and, like, I don't know, Andrew Luck combined. He's incredible. We were right. And so this is where I'll segue into my next hot take, my bold prediction. The first one, Dan, Ryan, of 2018. I was watching that Notre Dame-Michigan game, which, Ryan, you alluded to, was not well played. I'm going to talk about Michigan for a second. They have an excellent defense. Their offense looked pretty bad, sputtered out on pretty much every drive. But I did see one short flash of something, and I'll tell you what that flash is, and this is my bold prediction. Dylan McCaffrey is better than Shea Patterson and should be starting for this team by the end of the year. I'm calling this now based on limited knowledge, but I feel good about it. I didn't see anything from Shea Patterson that particularly scared me as a Penn State fan, also in the same division. But when I saw McCaffrey, I just thought, like, the kid's obviously from good stock, brother of Christian McCaffrey. Apparently that family has 4 college athlete kids. Correct. And I just saw something. I saw a little bit of spark in the offense. I saw some untapped potential. And if it's not this year, I think he's the next Michigan guy who really gives them a chance to be a playoff caliber Michigan team. So my advice to you, Jim Harbaugh, is to cut the cord with Patterson now and just go in that direction. And even if it costs you a game or two early, it's the better long-term move. So that's my bold prediction. From the guys who brought you Tua over Hurts, McCaffrey over Patterson. Dan, your bold take from week one.
I love college football, Tom. And college football is truly unique. Every other sport in this country, all the games take place in the Eastern time zone, in the Central, Mountain, or Pacific, over a 3-hour range. Every sport. Except one sport, Tom. And that's college football. And this year, the University of Hawaii is worth watching. Cole McDonald lighting it up with 9 touchdowns, no interceptions, almost 900 total yards passing. You can go out, ladies and gentlemen, Saturday night with the wife, take her home, make love, sneak out of the bedroom, turn the TV on. The game's just going to be kicking out. If you're younger and listening to this, you can go out to the bar, chase some girls, unsuccessfully pick them up, go get some takeout, come back home, and the Hawaii game will be at halftime. College football is better when Hawaii is relevant, and they were double-digit underdogs in both weeks one or whatever, the fake week one and week one.
Week zero, we'll go with.
Correct. They're 2-0. They're a ton of fun, and we are on Hawaii watch later this podcast talking about their game against Rice. So hats off to Hawaii. A lot of fun. Awesome story so far.
I love it. And I could have done, if we had enough time, at least 10 different hot takes from week one, and Hawaii would have been in there. And another one would be our first line of the week. So we're going to get right into it. Our lines. Dan, I'm going to let you kick it off with Mississippi State -8 at Kansas State.
Yeah, Tom, thanks. Mississippi State -8 at Kansas State. Kansas State looked pretty bad the first week. They played a nobody school and kind of struggled. That means absolutely nothing to Bill Snyder or Kansas State. Mississippi State, however, was forced to play their first game without Nick Fitzgerald. Their backup, who came on in the Egg Bowl after the injury and in the bowl game, played extremely well. This guy is a very large quarterback. He's like 6'5", like 230, 240. He looked great. I think this is a weird spot for Mississippi State. I think obviously they're more talented. They have they're an exciting team. But to me, it just feels weird that Fitzgerald's coming back his first game after that horrible injury, and it's on the road in Manhattan, Kansas, and the guy who took your place really played great for three games in a row. Extra pressure on him. Bill Snyder's going to have some sneakiness. As much as it hurts me to say, I'll probably take Kansas State.
We talk all the time on this show about lines that seem too good to be true or too easy. This is the number one line of this week that just seems too easy. Mississippi State looked great under Joel Moorhead. Like you said, Keaton Thompson came in and was excellent. They had just great all-around play. They look like maybe the challenging for like third or at least fourth best team in the SEC West. The SEC West, by the way, in the whole SEC had a great week. So SEC,
Tennessee, yes.
Well, yeah, but you know,
except for Tennessee won. There was
every other team won except for Tennessee.
Yeah, sorry, real quick, listener. There was a very good meme, and it had every SEC school, and inside of every picture of each SEC school, it said, like, the SEC had a great week, not you, on University of Tennessee. And then it, like, said everything else spelled out. Like, they were the one blemish on a perfect week for the SEC.
So, yeah, with the Big Ten East struggle, I think it's safe to say the SEC West is back on top, at least for now, in best divisions. But I kind of agree with you. This something seems off about this game, and this might be one where we tend to overreact after week one. I think if you're gambling week two, the important thing is don't overreact to what happened because we have such a limited sample size.
Mm-hmm. No preseason.
Right. Ryan, anything you'd like to add about that game?
I mean, you guys both make really good points. It just seems a little bit too good to be true. I think it's starting to correct itself. Looking at the live line, opened at 7.5, got all the way up to 9.5. Now it's back down to 8. So I think if you can get it at around 7, you know, by the point, get it down to 7, I think it's worth taking. I like Mississippi State. I think anything over 7 is a little bit tough with Bill Snyder. But I do like Mississippi State as the better team.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. I am not advocating taking the points on this one with Kansas State. I'm just saying, you know, don't be as confident as you may think you should be just based on the scores alone. Just be a little careful with this one. But if, you know, gun to my head, I think Mississippi State would be the pick for sure. Anyway, sure. Dan, what do you got next for us?
Coming up next, Tom, we got Arizona traveling at Houston. Houston's laying 3.5 points, total of 71. This is an interesting game. Last year, Houston traveled to Arizona. It was super sloppy. It was a low-scoring game. Khalil Tate did not play in the game last year for some odd reason. Khalil Tate hasn't had really a very good last couple of games.
What was up with your boy Khalil in week one, Dan? It seemed like he didn't want to run. He wanted to be a pocket passer.
BYU was very physical, and hats off to them. They played a great game, and I underestimated them with a 18th year senior quarterback at the helm. It just had the veteran leadership that they needed to get the win. But anyway, Ed Oliver in this game, Khalil Tate not playing up to his potential, or maybe just, I don't know, like things are weird with the new coach. That total's too high at 71.5. I'm going to take an under in this game. I don't know who wins. I don't know whatever, but that's a lot of touchdowns. That's 10 touchdowns. Keep in mind that this total is that, 71 points. There's another game we'll talk about later that's the same total, and you tell me which one's more likely to go over. So anyway, under 71.5, 71 is my pick in this game.
All right, I have no thoughts on this, so Ryan, unless you have something to add, I think we could move to the next one.
Move it along.
We're going quick this week.
We are going quick this week. This week we're moving on to Alabama. Alabama's at home against Arkansas State. Alabama's land 36.5. Louisville, as expected, and congrats, Tom, for you as the only person to call the lock of the week right last week, have a one-game lead over the both of us. We're idiots. Congratulations. They're laying 36.5. We still got Hurts and Tua competing allegedly against each other. This smells like 55-0, folks. Alabama, lay it. Do not watch it. It's all good.
Dan, you'll have to, I'm not doubting you, but you're going to have to elaborate, because one thing we've talked about year after year on this podcast is Alabama week two, the letdown after their big week one victory, always playing a big team. Then they usually go and play some small team and they just sort of lay up, for lack of a better term.
That normally happens, but because of the two quarterback situation going on, that cancels that out, because the quarterback's super hungry when he comes in, and I think that leads to more points. So I've and Alabama's at home. This might be a 0 point game for Arkansas State. I think Alabama easily scores 40 or 50 points in this game. So I'm gonna lay it.
All right, roll tide.
Yeah, real simple. Roll damn tide.
Moving on, we're sticking in the SEC.
We are sticking in the SEC, Tom. This is probably one of the bigger games of the week. Georgia at South Carolina. Georgia Bulldogs laying 10 points, total of 56. This is a super hard game. South Carolina is a sneaky team. They're SEC. They got a lot of talent. 10 points is a lot, but Georgia is loaded. This is another home team getting a lot of points. When in doubt in these situations, you should always take the home team. But this is a complete stay away for me. I don't know if you guys have a better feel for this one, but for me, this it's right on. Georgia by 10, 56 points is right. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, Dan, you're exactly right. Vegas nailed it. They smashed it out of the park with that line. It's the perfect number. I think if it was like 12, 13, I would probably lean to South Carolina heavy. If it was 7, 8, lay it all for Georgia with a touchdown. But I think 10 is the exact right number. For me, it's a stay away, but I do like Georgia a lot this year again.
So you're going to hear a lot of milquetoast comments from me this week, because I looked at the lines a few days ago, and I think Vegas was just outstanding this week, really nailing it on almost everything. And usually I think week two or three is when there's a lot of good opportunities. So I was a little disappointed to see a lot of lines that I thought were right on. So you'll hear a lot of non-answers from me today. And it's not because I'm afraid to make a pick. It's because I think Vegas is, they did a good job this week. If I had to pick a side in this, I'm going to go with Georgia, but I think 10's right about where it's going to be.
Right. All right, moving on. Next game. The out of control and in trouble Ohio State Buckeyes.
Oh, you mean Ohio State featuring Heisman favorite Dwayne Haskins?
I was in Vegas in July with a friend of mine from Columbus, Ohio, and a friend of his sent a text that said, please go put money on Haskins for Heisman for me. And we had to go to the counter at Ari and place a bet. I hope he loses. Anyway.
I've heard a lot of buzz about him even since last year. And I was hoping it wasn't true, but it appears he's pretty damn good. Oregon State's not the greatest team, but to put up that many points against any Power 5 team's pretty impressive.
Oregon State's not even a real football team. They're like,
would you consider them like
Kansas?
Yeah.
They're like Kansas. They're the Kansas of the West Coast.
Well, we can talk about Kansas, but Kansas has played itself down to another level. They need to be relegated to, like, the Sun Belt.
Oregon State's close. Look it up.
They're not worse. I mean, I would love to get those teams together for a bowl game.
Oh, God. No. Okay, moving on. Ohio State. Home against Rutgers this week. Ohio State laying 35.5-ish points. I like Rutgers in this game. Rutgers last week, I know it sounds crazy. Rutgers last week held their opponent to about 130 yards rushing. Ohio State's got a big look-ahead spot next week at TCU. The first game was the big, like, Urban Meyer's innocent game and a lot of emotion. All those kind of things lead to this being, I think Rutgers can score like 17-ish, maybe 20 points, and get a cover in this game. I wouldn't lay the 5 touchdowns with Ohio State this week. I like Rutgers. Why not? Go Scarlet Knights.
I don't agree with that. It is a lot of points, so I wouldn't feel confident laying that, but hell no, I'm not taking points with Rutgers. Ryan?
I mean, whew, it's tough. I really do not like Ohio State. I think Dan made the right point. The big point was the look-ahead spot here with TCU. A huge, huge look-ahead spot for them. I could definitely see this game being right around this number, you know, 48-17, 47-13, that type of thing. It's pretty close, but I think Rutgers has a chance to probably cover this, but I would never put my own money on it.
I'm going to predict a point total for Ohio State, which is 56. So you tell me if you think Rutgers will get plus 21. Or minus 20.
Over that. Rutgers is getting it done. 56-28 final. We got a cover.
I mean, Ohio State's defense didn't look infallible in that first game. There was some opportunity to move the ball and put up points. Their offense just looks so good. It's nice to see that Ryan Day has learned from his mentor Urban Meyer of just absolutely being an asshole and running up the score.
Well said, Tom.
All right.
Moving on. Clemson travels to Texas A&M. This is a 7 p.m. kick. Clemson minus 12 points, total 54.5. This is a very hard game to cap. On one hand, if you look back at Clemson's 2016 season last year. No, wait, no. 2017
was last year. 2016 was the title year.
I didn't know what year it was. So last year's Clemson's team, you go through and you look at how many points they kind of won by, and that was with an offense that wasn't that great, right? And they won every game by 14 points or won by like a field goal or won by, you know, I mean, most of the time Clemson's like won a game by 14 points, about 80% of the time. So this spread's 12. On one hand, Clemson's offense isn't great. Their defense is unbelievable. Texas A&M has that quarterback Mond playing, who played last year, so at least he's experienced. They have a great defense as well. I don't know if they're actually going to play amazing, but they're always super talented and send guys to the league. And they got Jimbo Fisher, who's going to be extra motivated, especially because Florida State just had a laugher, and he's going to love being extra motivated to try to win this game. As much as Clemson has been covering lately, and it kills me to say, I'd probably lean A&M in this game with the home dog and the 12.5 points and pray for a close game and be like, all right, I got 12.5, you know, and it's a field goal game. But there's also a chance Clemson just wears them down and wins like 38-10. So it's pretty much a stay away, gun to my head, A&M, and I don't love it.
Dan, I do love it. I love it a lot, and I love it for Clemson.
I know.
I don't believe in A&M yet. I don't think they're ready. I don't really think Jimbo is that great, to be completely honest with you guys. I don't think Jimbo is worth that kind of point spread. I think this should be more of like a 17-point spread as far as talent goes. So for me, I think this is a huge play for Clemson.
Are you putting Jimbo Fisher on the Ryan Spillett fraud list trademark?
Not. He doesn't make the top 5. Mm. The fifth will be revealed this week. I did tease that. It will be revealed this week.
All right. Kelly Bryant's a senior. Is that correct?
I'm not sure.
I think he's a senior.
He's a sophomore.
Yeah, I thought he was like...
All right, you know what? Forget it. I have no additional thoughts. We'll cut this part. Next game.
All right, moving right along, folks. Arkansas travels to Colorado State. 7:30 East Coast start. Arkansas laying about 2 touchdowns with a total of 70 points. Arkansas, it's going to take you a couple weeks, folks. You got to clear your brain of the last couple years of crap of Brett Bielema wasting everybody's time. This is Chad Morris now. This is a spread offense. They don't really run the ball anymore. They throw it all over the lot. Last week, their quarterback threw three touchdowns, yada, yada. They dropped 50 points. Colorado State somehow at home lost to Colorado in the rivalry game by 30. That's not good. Colorado State has the least amount of returning starters of any entire country. They ranked dead last, 130 out of 130 in returning starters. I think this is a good spot for Arkansas to go up there and whip Colorado State's ass. Colorado State looks to be headed towards about a 2-9 season that nobody cares about. Chad Morris needs to win this game. He's got an easy one next week. If he can get these first three in a row, and he can try to get, a bowl game his first year. Maybe sneak a 8-3, 7-4 time.
Okay, so we had to reset there, but we're going to pick up. I'm going to let Ryan chime in, but first I want to jump back a little bit. So I Googled it. Kelly Bryant is a senior. I think he transferred in last year, which is good for him because I think that freshman quarterback they got at Clemson is a real stud. And if Kelly Bryant was younger, I think we're going to have a Jalen Hurts type situation here. But I think they can sort of split time throughout the year, and Kelly Bryant in his final act can sort of hand the reins off to this kid who might just be the next national championship winning quarterback to follow up Deshaun Watson's legacy at Clemson. So I thought, that was the flash of brilliance. We talked about a flash of brilliance in Michigan. The flash of brilliance I saw from Clemson was this freshman quarterback who I think is going to be real good one day.
I agree.
Very possible.
Anyway, over to you, Ryan. We're talking about Arkansas at Colorado State.
Thanks, Tom. So yeah, I really love Arkansas in this spot. To our 9 or so faithful listeners, will recall that I've taken a lot of pleasure in bashing the Bielema dilemma for the last few years. And they would also recall that one of my favorite coaches has been Chad Morris these last few seasons as well. I've called for him for quite a few jobs in the past. So this is a great spot. Like Dan said, all the stats are there. Everything's pointing in that direction. This is a huge multi-unit play on Arkansas.
Do you guys want to do locks of the week as we get to the games, or do you want to wait till the end? Just asking theoretically.
The end.
All right. Let's just say this is one of my candidates.
Sounds good.
All right, moving along then.
Moving all along, here's a random one for you, boys and girls. Fresno State travels to Minnesota. Minnesota lay in 2.5. This is all I'm going to say about this one. Wrong team's favorite in this game. Fresno's pretty damn good. Their quarterback's back from last year. They've won something like, 14 of their last 15 games or whatever. They're going to win outright. Go ahead and bet the money line. That's it.
Totally agree.
All right.
Yeah, better team. All right, moving right along. Stanford hosts Clay Helton and the USC Trojans. That line just continues to go up all week. It's up to Stanford -6 right now. Total of 56.5. I don't think that USC's any good at all. I don't think Clay Helton's a good head coach. I think last year was as good as they could have finished the year, given they had a stud quarterback in Sam I Am Darnold. They don't have him this year. They have an 18-year-old playing quarterback. This is his first real road game. Well, it is. At Stanford, Bryce Love, experienced quarterback. I like Stanford. I think Stanford's going to absolutely smack him, too. I'll take Stanford big. I like Stanford a lot.
So, Ryan, I'm going to let you go last because I know you have been a big fan of Stanford and a not-so-big fan of Helton, so I'm going to let you have the final word. I basically agree with Dan's analysis. I'd also like to add that Stanford had a really nice week one against San Diego State, a team that beat them last year. So to come out and win 31-10, I mean, that shows me that the Stanford team is not as slow and lackluster as they've started past seasons. So I'd be afraid. JT Daniels, is that his name? He looked pretty okay. But again, you know, first big road game. So Stanford in this one all day.
Absolutely, Tom. Couldn't agree with you guys. Appreciate the lead in. And yes, as Dan and Tom both alluded to, the fifth and final coach on my fraud list is Mr. Clay Helton. Congratulations, you make the top five.
What a joke. He's the head coach of that college.
The only thing he's done there is take talented players and not make them better. He had Sam Darnold, who had a great start to his career with his quarterback's coach, T. Martin. However, when Clay Helton got the job, he decided he was going to make T. Martin now the co-quarterback coach and bring his brother in to be the assistant and to take over. And that's why Darnold threw all those interceptions last year. He had an idiot brother coaching him up. Helton's a joke, and his brother's even worse. So all season, I'm going to be fading Southern Cal. And as you said, Tom, I usually am really high on Stanford. Pull up their schedule. They have a murderer's row first five games. So if they can get through this 4-1, I think they are legitimate national title contenders.
Few more games left, Danny.
Hell yes, and if you want to stay up late, this is the weekend. There are four more games to talk about. They all kick off after 10 o'clock Eastern. Love all four. I'm betting all four of these 100%. These are more likely to be wagered on by me than any other games the whole week. BYU hosts Cal. It's the first one. BYU laying a field goal. BYU looked good last week. They were physical. Their 39-year-old quarterback was smart. He's got experience. No, seriously. This is an auto wager against the Pac-12. You thought the Pac-12 was bad last year? They're horrible this year. The Pac-12 is a joke of a conference this year, outside of probably Stanford, to be honest with you.
I think Washington will be all right.
Okay, maybe. But outside of that, I mean, UCLA's garbage. USC's going to be garbage. Yep. Arizona State's going to be proven to be garbage. Arizona was overhyped.
I don't want to jump ahead, but Mr. Herm Edwards won, 49-6?
University of Texas, San Antonio campus could not get it done against a college with 80,000 students. Shocker. Anyway, this game is an auto fade of the Pac-12. They're bad. Anytime you get to fade the Pac-12 against a competent opponent out of conference, even better on the road's a good spot. Night game, Provo, BYU, Tanner Mangum, Pac-12 sucks, Cal, only a field goal, bet BYU. Love BYU. Love it.
I have nothing to add on that one. This is the Pac-12 is okay. Out of my wheelhouse, as I've said many times, except for this next West Coast game, which is right in my wheelhouse.
Yes, it is, Tom. The University of Connecticut, Golden Huskies, get on the plane, and they fly across the country to take on the Boise State, whatever the hell, Broncos, wherever they are. Boise State's laying 31.5. Let me just go through a couple things here. This is very similar to, like, Alabama, where you either bet on them or you stay away. You only bet on Boise State here or you stay away. It's the exact same scenario. Boise State last week opened up on the road against Troy. Troy won their conference last year. Troy was in a bowl game.
Troy's a good team.
Semi-competent opponent for a mid, lower conference. Boise went over there and whipped their ass and dropped 55 on them. Boise's back in run-the-table national championship mode. UConn, meanwhile, lost the civil conflict. They probably kept the trophy, though. And
trophy stays here permanently.
It does, so congratulations. They got buried by 40 by UCF. Now they're going on the road. Those guys are going to play on a blue turf for the first time ever. This line opened at 34 and it's down to 31. I don't know what's going on. I really don't care what's going on. Boise, 66-10.
Damn good score, Dan. I'm just going to say that and let Tom jump in because I know he wants to jump in on this.
Well, first of all, tough break for UConn. UCF was the best non-Power 5 school last year, and they look to have picked up where they left off. And then Boise, which I'll get to in a minute, is also awesome. So UConn has to play the two best non-Power 5 teams back-to-back to start their season. Boise State was one of the more impressive teams. You know, when you set aside like Alabama or maybe like LSU's performance, I thought Boise was one of the top performances of that first week. They looked excellent. I think they have a very, very legitimate chance to go undefeated in the regular season and maybe even sneak in the playoff. They are absolutely my pick for New Year's Six non-Power 5 team. With respect to UCF, who also looked very good. But I don't know, a lot of points, but there's only one option in the game. I mean, you have to bet Boise if you're going to bet this game. You bet them or you stay away, as Dan said. There is no betting on UConn. I'm not going to say this as a suggestion. We are not going to allow it. Like, if we find out one of you has bet UConn, we will come to your house and we will change the password on your sportsbook account so you can no longer do damage to yourself.
I like that, Tom. That's fair.
We will make you a ward of the state like Britney Spears circa 07.
Very good.
Too old
okay,
of a reference.
Moving on.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, moving on. So whatever.
Herm Watch.
Game of the week. Michigan State travels out here to our backyard. Play Arizona State, and they're laying 6 points. Herm covered in week one. Everyone thinks Arizona State's going to be fine. Well, that was the branch campus of University of Texas, and the University of Texas lost to Maryland.
Hey, I think the CEO of Arizona State football delivered strong results to his shareholders.
So far, so good. However, that comes to an end this week. I've seen Arizona State play a talented opponent since we've moved here at home a couple times. Like, Oregon's come to town when they're really, really good, and there was a buzz that Oregon, you know, Arizona State's going to beat them. That never happened. I think this is where Michigan State pulls it together and takes care of Arizona State in a workman-like business 17-point win. I'll take Michigan State.
Well, Dan, I totally agree on that. As you all know, a little bit of extra insight into Herm Watch.
You've been monitoring our hero Herm Edwards very closely over the last year and especially the last couple weeks. What new developments have you seen?
Well, Tom, after watching today's press or this week's press conference from Monday, Labor Day, a couple insights. One, Herm does not have anything to do with the X's and O's of this team. He literally cannot single out any scheme that they run, and he does not know any scheme that Michigan State runs. Every question that was posed to him was answered the exact same way. And they said, you know, hey, what do you think about this upcoming opponent, Michigan State, running game? And basically it was, well, they're a good team. It's in their DNA. They're tough. They're hard-nosed. It's going to be a tough challenge. Okay, well, what do you think about this Michigan State defense? You know, some of the schemes they run, some of what they do to, against your running game. Well, they're tough. They're physical. Disciplined. It's in their DNA. So, yeah, he has zero insight into any X's and O's that happens during the season. And then one added little tidbit. Michigan State's quarterback is a local Phoenix kid coming back home, getting to play in front of family. This is a huge, huge deal because they missed out on the chance of a Fiesta Bowl in the last couple of years. So this is a huge spot for them. I love Michigan State all day on this.
Brian Lewerke's a good QB. He's a up and coming. And Michigan State always struggles early. This is sort of their MO. They'll be fine. They do play a style where they never really blow teams out that often. So luckily the line's only 6. For me, it's an easy pick if you have to take a side, Michigan State, especially when it's under a touchdown. I'm not betting Herm.
Nope.
No. Stay away.
All right. So well, one more game, Dan.
Oh, well, Tom, that's it. No, it's not. Hawaii's got a game, motherfuckers.
I love our newfound passion for Hawaii football. I think this is going to be a running trend.
There's nothing better than the late Hawaii game.
The ghost of June Jones is out there.
11:59 p.m. Eastern kick, sun. I'm dead serious.
Kicks off after I'll be in bed.
That's correct. It's going to be a 4.5 hour game. Just get up early.
I'm going to catch the end when I wake up. Guaranteed.
All we need is a really hard lightning storm, and you're going to get the end of a Hawaii game Sunday morning.
That's going to be so good.
Better than any NFL. Be the peak college football. Be like, yes. Anyway, Cole McDonald, we talked about him before. 17.5 points are laying against Rice. Fuck it. Lay the 17.5. Hook that shit with the 70. This is the same total as that damn Arizona-Houston game we talked about earlier in the podcast. How the hell are those two the same totals? I don't know. This is a late night hook, folks. If you guys are down some money, I recommend betting about half your bankroll on Hawaii and the over and hooking it and then going to bed and praying.
So Rice, I don't know much about, but they've already played a couple games and they're averaging about 29 points. First was against Prairie View, which doesn't tell us much, but the second was against Houston and they put up 27 against that at Oliver D. So they should be able to contribute 25 to 30 ish points. That means Hawaii's got to give us about what? 43.
Hawaii gave up 40 points in the second half to Navy last week. 42 in the second half. So don't worry. This is going way the fuck over.
Yeah,
this
I like that one.
This is my lock of the week. I'm taking my lock of the week right now. Rice Hawaii over. Take it. 70. Even 70. That's my lock. I'm saving it for the dead last so you don't know if I won or lost. Take that.
Yeah, I won't find out if you won your lock until Sunday.
Ryan, what do you got for your lock?
Well, I'm going to have to go ahead and...
gave it away.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and take Michigan State. I'm going to have to fade Herm. Can't wait to watch the press conference after their first loss. It's going to be great. Really excited for that. So my lock of the week is Michigan State.
All right, I will say there's nothing that I felt as comfortable taking this week as I did with Alabama in a week one showdown on a neutral field. That always feels good. But I'm going to go with Arkansas going to Colorado State. I don't like the fact that it's on the road, but Arkansas is a team that's now, after week one, has got to realize they are in the toughest division in all college football. Wins are going to be real hard to come by. Colorado State is historically bad through the first 2 weeks. And so I think Arkansas realizes they've really got to get it done where and when they can if they want to have a chance at a bowl this season. So Arkansas wins by, I'm going to say, about 24, 25-ish. I'll lay that 13.5.
Love it.
Sounds good.
I feel pretty good about all three of these.
Much better than last week.
All right, Dan, last thoughts before we talk about Mr. Richt?
We got to pay some bills real quick.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We're sponsored this year. We've gotten so much interest that we have new ads for every single episode, Dan, which is really unprecedented. So who's sponsoring the show this week?
This week's sponsor is Camel Cigarettes, Tom. You got problems with your self-esteem? Light a Camel. Really want to stick it to mom and dad? Fire up a Camel. Need to lose a few pounds? Enjoy a Camel. Camel cigarettes. There's worse things out there.
I'm glad they were able to change the advertising rules for our podcast to allow cigarette advertisements.
You'd be surprised.
Take the Points, the only college football podcast endorsed by cigarettes.
I used to smoke Camels while recording this podcast, for sure. There's definitely
oh, yeah.
Audio. You could definitely
that ad was It was way too in-depth to be totally made up. There's some truth in that one.
End of the year, we got to do a montage of all the commercials, a super cut, and put it out as a special pod, the commercial edition.
I've got some, but we'll save them for next week.
Write them for any week, please.
Just a lot of interest. A lot of interest. GoDaddy's talking to us about sponsoring
Yellowstore
Internet. Dick's has to sponsor us.
Brooklyn Pickle. They're one.
That's very good.
Yeah, Campbell's Cigarettes. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
So yet another reason to tune in next week. Before we go, I just have a couple minutes where I'd like to talk about another Take the Points favorite, Mark Richt. So as I'm a fool because I thought Miami would win. I'm a damn fool. Next time I pick Mark Richt to win any big game at any point in the season against any team, I want you guys to reach through the Skype screen and just choke me out, put me in some kind of arm bar. And then when I wake up, just, you know, pat my head, say, it's okay. It's okay. You made a mistake, but it's going to be all right. That was real stupid of me. Because on this podcast for 6 years, one of the most recurring themes, one of the things we've talked about the most and with the most passion is about the large-scale, epic, big-game failures of Mr. Mark Richt. And he showed us once again. I just want to give a shout-out to somebody on Reddit. You can all Google this. I'm sure you'll find it. But they were a big Georgia fan, and they charted Mark Richt's 44 most epic losses as a Georgia and Miami coach. And they actually made a chart, like a pretty good data set. And so you can look that up. And they actually said that the worst loss, according to their criteria, was the Miami loss last year to Pitt, when I think Miami was ranked number 2 and they choked to Pitt. A good one, but this is my minor bone to pick, even though I think the person who created this is a genius. The greatest Mark Richt loss of all time is clearly the 2012 SEC championship game against Alabama. Not only was that the biggest stakes, it was basically a de facto national championship game, since the winner would get to play Notre Dame and Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend for the championship. We know how that worked out. So had Georgia won that SEC championship, I think you could have locked them in for a national championship. So the biggest stakes and the biggest blunder with them throwing, with a few seconds left, throwing an inbounds pass to the 5-yard line, getting tackled inbounds, and then Mark Richt's poor clock management skills. You know, everybody just standing around as the clock wound down and they lost the game. So the biggest stakes, the most heartbreaking loss for Georgia fans, probably in their history, at least until last year. And then also the most like perfect and clear example of Richt being the reason why they blew it. Mm-hmm. So, anything you guys want to add about Mark Richt?
Oh, well.
Ryan, was he on your coaches, your top five?
He is.
Okay. I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but I would like to make this into a MySpace-style top 8 for next week.
Okay.
And I think this could be a whole segment. Like, we'll just come out with rank the top 8 frauds.
Willie Taggart.
Not based on how bad they are, but based on how fraudulent.
I'm on it.
We got a couple. I'm sure I got a couple already, but I'll save it.
Because Mark Richt isn't the worst coach, but perhaps the most fraudulent.
He could be the worst coach.
I mean, he always gets the team ranked high. The
fuck has that guy done besides have guys go in the top 5 of the NFL draft and not do shit? I mean, like, what has he accomplished? I mean, I'm trying to be an asshole here, but, like, you have, like A.J. Green and, like, all those star number one quarterbacks, like Murray, they're all 5-star guys. And, like, Georgia gets every year, like, a top 3 to 5 recruiting class. And, like, for years they were never even, like, in the same class as, like, Florida or Florida State or Clemson or Alabama or Auburn. Like, way underachieved for many years. He hasn't won a head – now he's lost 4 games in a row at Miami. He hasn't won since before Thanksgiving. There's just no evidence to the contrary. I mean, I don't know what to say.
I think that was always the rap on him, was that he's an excellent recruiter and he gets all the talent in, and then he didn't win the big games. I mean, he had consistently good records. We used to joke years ago that they were always 8-4, 9-3, ranked between 8th and 12th every single year. So that's not terrible. And when you see what Kirby Smart was able to do really early, that's because Rick left him a good program. So I shouldn't. Somewhat. I don't know why I'm defending Mark Richt. Look what you've done to me.
You see, here's the problem. It's that if you were the head coach, Tom, or Ryan, you were the head coach, or I was the head coach, it doesn't matter. We would get the same talent because we would just take like Herschel Walker with us when we went to AJ Green's house to get him to sign. And like, it's Georgia fucking football. Like, it's Atlanta. It's Georgia. Like, you're going to get the best players. And to not even win a national title over the past 15, 20 years is embarrassing. And to not even like be close and to be in that same class, like it's inexcusable for them to be bad when Alabama, a state that has less people, has two powerhouse programs right below it, or right, you know, right next to it. Georgia is just it's embarrassing. I feel bad for their fans, but last year was a great example of what can happen once Rick's gone. They were probably the best team in the country last year. You know, I mean, if this was old school, like 1992 AP voting, you could almost make a case for Georgia being number one ranked at the end of last year. But yeah, Rick is way overrated. He should smoke campus cigarettes. It'd be better off.
All right. Any last thoughts before we depart?
Nah, I think we're good.
We're good.
Yeah, I think so. All right, everyone. Thanks for waiting late in the week to hear our podcast. We appreciate you listening. TakeThePoints.net is back online after last week's debacle, currently under construction. So it looks like shit, but you can listen there. It works. That's all that matters. iTunes, Stitcher, possibly Spotify. Stay tuned.
Can't wait.
And that's it. You know, tweet at us or email us if you have thoughts or questions or anything. I'm not going to give you our Twitter or email. You got to figure it out.
You have to search the web. We're on there.
Yeah, we're not hard to find. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye, everyone. Take the point.